Here's a hot take on world politics. Exclusive. That really burns me.
Now we are on, so you can dial back.
Whoops.
On the racial epithets there, Joe.
I don't want to ruin my reputation.
Pig dogs and everything.
Pigs. All of them.
Welcome to another episode of Marathon Chat.
Are we ever going to come up with a better name?
No.
Than Marathon Chat?
No. Are you kidding me?
Is this like a Repo Man tribute? Marathon Chat, food,
what's stuff. Wrong with Marathon Chat?
I don't know. Or it needs a song or like a rap song for it or something.
Why do we want a rap song? What are you, some teacher from the 80s?
Yes,
who's like,
I am.
Or do you ever watch those, the thing? Well, we thought we'd make something different. We wanted to do a new theme song that was hip for the kids. So you know what we're going to do? Let's rap.
I have a confession to make. I am a teacher from the 80s.
You are.
I'm actually 62. And the reason why none of you see me outside of the marathons is because all that low lighting makes me look really, really young.
It's sort of like the stripper lightings. Is there a black light that goes on you that takes away all the blemishes?
I'm working on that, yeah. The dye job is impressive, if you notice. So, And I even put a little bit of gray in just to make it look like I'm kind of aging, but yeah.
Do you have that sexy Michael Landon look?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Barry Boswick.
Boy.
The hell happened?
Getting all dreamy now. Jeez.
Wow.
So we have to work on a theme song and call it something other than Marathon Chat.
Like, no! What the hell with you? It's going to be Marathon. I think I like Marathon Chat.
I could walk away right now if you want.
You could.
I really could.
You'd disappoint the fans.
You'd just be, yeah, you
know
what?
You still wouldn't leave, though.
I have them in the palm of my hands. No.
Ew.
Yeah, they're really going to hate me for that now, aren't they?
I could just walk away.
One of our Twitter...
You're like a bad girlfriend at this point where you're like, I could leave anytime.
I am, yeah. I am.
Leave anytime.
One of our Twitter followers, who we both know, I noticed one of the few comments on it on Twitter last time said, boy, that Joe guy is a, and I quote, a jock ass. And those are two words.
That was...
What was that?
That was a reference to No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
Which Kurt Fuller was the bad guy playing essentially Satan, if you didn't catch all the Christ-like...
No, that's the thing. I've only seen No Holds Barred once.
Yeah, he keeps calling Hulk Hogan a jock ass.
A jock ass? Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Okay, see...
He was not saying you personally were jock.
I thought he just messed up and was trying for jackass and not jock...
No.
Wow.
no jock ass.
So could you call me Rip then, maybe? Like I could be Joe Rip Neff or...
You should be, yeah. You need to come in with a Hulkamania shirt and then to tear it off when you get in there.
True confession in 1989.
Make your pecs dance.
Well, you know, Kevin Carr, I gotta get down.
We should do a WWE feud.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I love wrestling.
That would be great.
I dressed up as a pro wrestler two straight Halloweens.
Could we get Jerry Lawler to come in here and like wrestle women?
He'd probably do... Well, he's
you
a
could
old.
Wrestle women,
yeah.
And Jerry Lawler will.
Jerry's had a
has
heart.
Has this been done before?
Jerry's had a heart attack, though. He might be a little more frail. He has kind of a bad history too.
I have
with
a feeling that Jerry Lawler heart attacked and hooked up to an IV drip might probably kick both our asses
probably.
At the same time.
maybe, possibly.
Oh,
but in 1989, my youngest sister bought No Holds Barred, the match, the movie for me.
That's amazing.
WWF then ran a pay-per-view event in which they showed No Holds Barred on pay-per-view, and then they showed The Match, which was a pre-tape match, but of course
between
in
who?
89. It was a tag team match featuring Hulk Hogan and I think Brutus the Barber Beefcake versus Randy Macho Man Savage and Zeus. And
wait,
was,
the Greek god Zeus,
wait,
or like was he
was,
a wrestler?
Do you know anything about the feud?
I don't.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. This is
so
I've
around
heard of Hulk Hogan.
When they made No Holds Barred in I think it was 88, 89. Yeah.
The high time of movies.
To try to promote the movie, they enlisted Tom Lister, Tiny Lister, the guy who plays Zeus in the movie.
Wait, is that
Zeus,
the big black
guy? The cross-eyed black guy?
Oh, yeah.
They enlisted him to come into WWF and play Zeus, and they build him as Zeus from the movie, like he had come, like he was real, and they had a feud. I swear to God, they headlined.
He wasn't an animatronic.
SummerSlam 1989 was headlined by Randy Savage and Zeus versus Hulk, and I think Brutus Beefcake. And they did another. They did a steel cage match for that they taped like a couple months later, and that's what they ran with No Holds Barred the movie. So for $10, you got to watch the movie and then watch the match.
Wait. $10?
I think it was $10.
That's
it was,
like really
it was
good
pretty
for
cheap.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, it
now
was
it's like what $186 for
around then.
You know, to
with
watch
tax and VAT.
Some nobody play and fight a nobody in the ring.
What are you? Are you trying to bait me here? You trying to troll me?
Yes.
Why do you do this? Knowing I love wrestling. Do you know? You don't even know I love wrestling, do you?
I didn't know you loved wrestling.
I
didn't really. For those, go ahead. Throw on your red bandana.
Red banana? I have a red banana, too.
It's a plantain.
Whoa! Hello! No, I love wrestling. In fact, for Halloween 2011 and 2012, I dressed up as now former WWE awesome guy, CM Punk.
Can I step in here?
I have pictures, too.
I when you said just, like, 2 minutes ago, like if we have a flashback in the trailer, you know, like sort of like in the trailer for The Call, where they have a flashback to the beginning. You said I dressed up as a wrestler for Halloween 2 years. I'm thinking of you as this like 13-year-old kid. No, this was what, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going, I dressed up as the Easter Bunny, then Macho Man Randy Savage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Indiana Jones. And well, then another wrestler you've never heard of.
I bear the vaguest of resemblances to CM Punk.
Okay.
Vegas, like if
maybe they washed CM Punk in warm water, then put him in the dryer.
Yeah, if I was in the same room with him and someone said, and you know what, these guys are brothers or cousins, someone might believe.
Sort of like in a Schwarzenegger.
Dark
DeVito
hair,
twins.
He had a beard at the time. Sort of like. He's a loudmouth who likes to shoot off his mouth and.
I mean, I could sit there and say I bear a resemblance to Big Show because we both shave our heads and have a goatee.
See, you know more
Van
than
Dyke.
You think then.
I've watched USA. I watched Psych.
So you know then, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't. I've you know how awesome,
okay, this is what we should do. We should totally to sell this podcast because we need something to get the listener numbers
to get
up.
The kids and let's rap.
We got
to
do
let's
something.
Do a rap. Yeah. That's what we
this
should.
Is like. This is like in the middle of the documentary saying, okay, we need to do something to get the viewers more interested in the film you're making right now. So let's go pose and we should do a fake match. You could be Big Show and I could be CM Punk. And
we're gonna have to shoot it like with forced perspective.
No. But that's
so we would because we'd be the miniature versions
but that's
of both.
That's the beauty of it is we're scale models because in real life, the difference between our height, weight, etc. is probably the same as the real life CM Punk.
That's true.
And all you have to do is like hold your hand up and yell.
We'll just have to build a set at like, you know, 75% scale.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
And we can put like on the set, on the mat, we can put.
So
like,
are you saying that for the
podcast?
For the horror marathon that you and I should dress up as wrestlers? And have a wrestling match?
I could probably get Bruce to dress up as, well, let me think. He doesn't have enough hair to be Captain Lou Albano. He could be
the announcer. What was the Mean Joe?
Mean Gene Okerlund?
Mean Gene Okerlund.
He needs to grow a mustache.
He can get a fake mustache.
He could get a fake mustache.
They have all those hipster fake mustaches that the girls put on their face during.
That is true.
During Facebook and during
the. How did we get off on this anyway? Why did you mention No Holds Barred?
You asked me about Jockass.
Oh, yeah. See, this
makes it sound like we're leading into a hemorrhoid commercial or something. It's like, honey,
this is marathon.
Do you ever have this not so fresh feeling?
Marathon chat.
Jockass.
Sponsored by Jockass. When the only ass that you need is Jockass.
Gold
well, I'm glad. No, I'm glad I know that now, and it makes me almost want to go back and.
You should apologize.
And well, apologize, and then watch No Holds Barred again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Wow. So was
especially the part where the guy literally shits himself.
Oh yeah, that's right. I do remember that part.
And his response is not like, "Oh, stop it." He just yells "Dookie."
Wasn't the theme song?
I mean, who wrote this? Who wrote the script? A 6-year-old kid.
Wasn't the chorus for the theme song like, "It's No Holds Barred"?
Oh God, I don't know. Wow, that's
I remember that.
That's a level of nuance that I did not get from this movie.
I think that's how it went. I don't. And who was the lead? The female lead?
Joan Severance.
Yeah. Who? Whoa. Oh, Joan Severance. I'm confusing her with the girl from They Live. Oh wait, I thought.
Meg Foster.
Meg Foster.
No,
yeah.
She wasn't.
Not Meg Foster.
I will look it up on my handy dandy internet. I could ask Twitter, but I think it would take too long.
Tell me, Kevin, about the internet. I've heard about this before.
The internet. No. Hold, whoops.
Isn't that what David Warner says in Time Bandits when he's talking about his evil plot to take over the world and he turns to his lackey and says, "Now, tell me about computers."
It is Joan Severance.
It is Joan Severance. Okay.
She was a good looking
I
woman.
Confuse her with Meg Foster.
Yeah. How do you... like one's redhead, yeah. one's really tall.
Let me see Joan Severance real quick on your magical machine.
All right, Joan Severance. Bet she has a Twitter account.
This
somewhere.
Is such good radio.
Oh, of course. Such, 55. Now we'll do a Google search. This is amazing. You do Google search and then immediately go nude next to it.
Oh,
hit
whoa,
enter,
whoa, wait, wait, wait.
Then
I,
hit
don't, I don't look at those. I don't look at things like that.
That's Joan Severin.
This is truly good radio right here because it's us recording ourselves looking at the internet.
Problem is Photoshop's gotten so good you can't tell whether they're fakes or not.
Okay, I sort of
this understand. Is somewhat artsy.
Thank you. I feel dirty now. Thanks a lot. I don't want to. Don't draw me into this little thing.
I'm entertaining myself.
I only view nudity at the marathons. That's it. I'm very Catholic in my taste in that way.
Wow, that's amazing.
I don't like any negativity.
Do you go on dates at all?
I don't like any negativity in my life outside of the marathons. So. That sounds loaded right there.
that's well, first of all, it's
I only watch the only atrocities I watch are at the marathons. So
both other than on that, the screen,
I meditate
and doing the costume.
I immediately after I leave the marathons, I go and meditate for 6 months and then come back and Bruce and I do our thing and then I go back and meditate for some more time. It's why I remain this youthful and energetic and filled with verve.
Looking like professional wrestlers from the 80s.
Yeah. Hey, he was like my age in the 80s.
Wow.
The guy I dressed up as. I hope he's out here. I heard he's starting his own podcast. Maybe we can be on it.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Should I get a feud with him? Him and Stephen King can come beat
me. You should. And then we can go on the podcast and be like, so today's guests are the fat guys at the movies and this guy who dressed up as me. Because no one will come on my show. So tell us about yourself, fat guy at the movies. Yeah.
It's fat guys. There's enough of me to go around for two.
I did mention before the podcast how I realized that if you shortened it to fat guy at the movies, it would sound really pathetic and lonely.
I'd look like I'd be like, well, and I've told the story of me going to, I've told this story before, I'm sure a couple times, about me going to see that Hillary Haley Duff movie.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what fat guy at the movies is.
Yes.
Creepy fat guy. I shouldn't have worn a trench coat and shorts. That's usually a bad idea. And do you ever notice in like the movies, the flashers, they always wear that like that British Irish bulk. They always wear that. It's like, are all flashers like Irish? Is it? Because they always wear
believe
that.
It or not. Yeah.
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 I'm Irish.
You should be proud. You almost you got a sub Scorsese laugh out of me right there.
That's amazing.
So I have to tell you because us. Bullshitting about this stuff reminds me of a little email I got after our last podcast.
Well, look at this. You got like a computer up?
I have a computer.
Do you need the Wi-Fi password?
It's running, what is this? Windows 2, I think? Or
Windows 2?
Yeah. Was that, or like...
I don't think there's a thing
What was
that.
Before XP? Windows?
Windows 2 at some point.
Windows
we're talking like
Windows
early
exclamation
90.
Point, I think, is what I have on here.
Wait, before XP?
That maybe it's like... maybe this is the original Mac program. I don't
what
know.
What are you...
Anyway.
Okay.
Kevin, it's good radio.
Does
play
it have
along.
Twitter?
Just use your imagination.
Does it have Twitter?
I don't know. I have to install that. I think there's an app I have to install to get Twitter. I heard through
right. So what,
Twitter.
What's this email you wanna? Your
so if for those of you who tuned in last time to our epic length podcast, or for those of you who I know there, some of you are out there right now, like the guy in Brainstorm, you just have the podcast on a loop and you're sitting in your basement and you're just convulsing.
You're just convulsing.
You can't get over
so
the
when
podcast.
Christopher Walken turns it off, you're like, no.
Start it up again.
You know, I have to say that scene in Brainstorm, it's both a dream of mine and then also I don't know if I'd be able to handle that. I'd probably rupture something.
Oh, you mean the what the guy's
doing?
The
loop.
Yeah. The loop, yeah.
The glorious loop.
You probably would, yeah. I don't know what you're going to rupture. I don't want to know what you're going to rupture.
Come home, he's just in his puddle. Anyways, go on.
I think you've ruined the mood now.
There was a mood.
This was all about fun, and then you had to introduce nude Joan Severance and rupturing.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with nude Joan Severance now and then.
I like to think this podcast appeals to a very wide family-friendly audience. Oh, wait, we don't censor this? You didn't bleep out the profanity from... Oh.
I've never bleeped out the profanity.
I have a lot
You're the one who got the love letter from a Serbian film.
I have a lot of explaining to do to my core audience now.
Oh, I do have to say, though, we mentioned this. I was in Israel a couple weeks ago.
Kevin was in Israel.
I was in Israel for a film festival.
Pre-conflict.
And I gained a lot of respect from this one German journalist who covers a lot of film festivals. And he was telling me he loves trash cinema. And he's like, his big thing, and he hosts these weekend, they go to a place and he shows trash cinema. Mm-hmm. And his favorite thing to show is biker movies. He loves American biker movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so And this is where the street cred completely went up in my direction. I said to him, I go, so you've seen Werewolves on Wheels, right? And I mean, his jaw hit the floor. It's like, how? And he's like, this guy must be for real because he knows Werewolves on Wheels.
Americans know Werewolves on Wheels?
Yes.
Wow.
And he said he's never shown it there because he only shows it on 35 prints. And the only print that they have is, where'd you get the print when you guys showed it?
Can I say this? I'm trying to think if I can say this or not.
Well, can you just tell me, like, the location?
From a film archive.
But was it domestic?
Yeah, domestic.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's the thing. He doesn't, I mean, these don't make much money.
Yeah.
So he can't afford to ship it from the U.S. to Germany.
Yeah, that would be kind of pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has watched it on YouTube.
Oh, good.
I said, no,
or good? I should change that to good?
Good? It's a great trailer. Okay, go on. So this email you got from
Jockass. So last time, no, not from a jockass or a jackass or Rip or Zeus. Or Brutus Beefcake or Vince McMahon. I just yanked the...
You knocked over
did I
the
yank the thing over again?
What
you'll notice when I first said Vince McMahon, I knocked everything over.
Yeah, that's the ghost of Vince McMahon.
Sorry, Vince. So anyway, last time in our podcast, if you remember, we talked about marathon shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a decent section on Kevin S. O'Brien... and Night of the Living Bread and the four films and that and all that. So about a day after you posted it, I received the following email from Kevin S. O'Brien.
Ooh.
From Australia.
Oh.
Where they have email still.
Where they have
apparently.
Email.
From Kevin O'Brien. Subject line. Good Lord! Exclamation point.
Uh-oh.
And the body of the email was the following. And I quote, this podcast is 100 minutes long. Ellipse. WTF! The end.
That's his the entirety of the bread saga.
Yeah.
Is not 100 minutes
no.
long.
Now, to be fair, he listened to it and he liked it, but I got a big laugh out of that.
I was waiting for him to say that asshole.
Like,
that
what?
He was talking to? What was that all about?
How long is this going to go on? Who do you guys think you are? So, yeah.
That's
so,
good to know the infamous Kevin S. O'Brien listens to the podcast.
He enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah. He always enjoys it. I think you said at one point, Joe, your voice makes me calm when I'm really nervous and edgy. So thank you.
So we should just
or maybe that was me saying that.
Should we just have you talking, like reading Shakespeare and like play that around areas of, you know, like problematic areas? Like when there's a riot.
Yeah, you know
just
how.
Just have you sort of reading,
you know,
Vogon poetry or something.
At convenience stores when they play classical music now to yeah. suppress juvenile youth. Delinquent behavior. They yeah. should put my voice up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I could be, yeah, 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 I like that.
I like
that.
Get some Vogon poetry in.
Okay, yeah. I'll work on that. Yeah. And I'll dress up as a wrestler. So we have to talk about some things, I think, right?
So what are we talking
because
do we have to catch up on anything there, from last
well,
week? Because we were talking about Yogurilla.
Yeah, we had the big tease.
Poor Yogurilla.
Had the big tease because we were going to talk about horror.
Well, say, speaking of Kevin S. O'Brien.
Speaking of him, yeah.
Living in Australia, can he score some yoga over there? Because you can't get it from the States.
Boy, I've never thought to ask him about
well,
that.
Well, now we've asked him.
Hey, Kevin, you're going to be listening to this. Get some yoga, please.
I wonder if you can order yoga.
It's the internet. I would assume you could.
I've ordered British stuff.
Yeah.
It's expensive as hell.
We sound like rubes right now. I wonder if you can order this online.
Yogo. There's the Yoga Bible. That is not what we
Yoga
want.
Bible? Yes.
Jillian Michaels, Yoga Mountain. Do they just think I'm stupid and say, well, you obviously misspelled yoga.
Dear Jillian Michaels, do you eat yoga? I heard you did on Twitter.
Wow. I may have to bookmark these. Some of these yoga positions...
Are you even making it to yoga?
I don't know. It's okay. Search instead for yoga.
Yeah.
Nope. Still yoga. Yoga. No, I don't think it doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, and I, you know, that ad was from what the mid.
Yeah.
Late 90s. Had to have been late
There's
90s.
There's a Kellogg's Yogo's Bits Dispenser promotional toy from 2007.
If anyone out there involved with the Yogo yogurt empire is listening, please, we would like a sponsorship. And we'll even welcome Yogurilla to the marathons because I
would dress up as Yogurilla for the next marathon, but that's just way too much work.
I think it would be a dream to put out a flyer and
I
say,
could just
like,
take off my clothes and like my natural hair do the duty.
Yeah. Okay. Pause.
What other shorts did you want to talk about?
No, we were done. We were going to talk about trailers. Because that's what the Yogo trailer is. For those of you who don't know, by the way, because some of you are like, who the fuck is Yogorilla? And why, what is...
Did I hear Christopher Walken sneak into that,
yeah.
that discussion?
Who the fuck is Yogorilla?
Wait a minute.
No, Yogorilla, no.
We had Werner Herzog before and Jimmy Stewart. Now we've got...
Yogorilla, go to hell. No, you go to hell, Yogorilla.
Go to hell.
That was like a C-minus Walken impersonation.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
Yeah, you're phoning it in.
Yeah, but I won it. Yeah, I won the Walken impersonation contest at that marathon.
That's true.
It wasn't hard. No offense to those of you who lost, but...
I went up there just to try. But I normally don't do a Walken impression.
So the Yogo / Yogorilla trailer...
Yes.
...is something that Bruce found years ago. Yogo was an Australian yogurt, correct?
I don't even think it's technically yogurt. It's pudding, basically.
Oh, it's pudding. Oh, that makes much more sense.
Yeah, it's not really... I don't even think it's actually a yogurt.
Yeah,
culture.
Yeah,
it's,
okay,
it's,
okay.
It's like yogurt, but see, I don't know if Australia... If yogurt... Because in America, yogurt meant health food nonsense and
yeah,
bullshit like
yeah.
that. But we had okay. that big push in the 80s and into the 90s where yogurt was frozen yogurt, which was basically a little bit of yogurt and sugar.
Yeah. So the Yogo ad is Yogorilla, mm-hmm. who is a gorilla. Mm-hmm. Who can talk, and yeah. he has, what, a snake?
Yeah.
This is his
yeah.
sidekick. And they're tasked by the president, mm-hmm. who's a rhino, who is very, very heavily based off of...
Who does talk like Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
That's right.
So you know this was probably made either late 90s or real early 2000s, because he tasks him with finding the missing Yogo mm-hmm. that aliens have kidnapped
aliens
or something
have
like that.
Taken it, yeah.
And not once, but twice in this spot, there's a gag in which... A Monica Lewinsky-esque character who is hanging with the president.
Who's not a gorilla or a rhino.
No.
She's like a cat of some
sort, I guess.
I don't know.
She, her blue dress gets squirted with some Yogo.
Yeah.
And it's a very kind of dated joke. Hey, hey!
Yeah.
But it's kind of dumb and fun. And over the years, I think it's... I would like to say there's a cult following that's sprung up around the Yogo ads, but I know it's really you and me. And maybe your kids.
My kids like it because in our sci-fi hall of fame for our marathon,
that's right,
we
yeah.
did, Yogorilla came in like second or third. He was close to
I
winning.
Cast an absentee ballot for Yogorilla. Yogorilla.
Yogorilla. I think who won this last time? Was it Robbie? I think it was Robbie the Robot.
I think you're right.
We started yeah. fresh. So, you know, in the regular marathon halls of fame, we're down to, you know, Udo Kier as our
we did finally ballot. Elect Dario Argento last year. We actually horror yeah. marathon. God, the list, because I make up the ballots every year, and the list of people who are still on, who have been on for a while. There's a big list of some pretty big people.
Yeah,
Corman, Jamie Lee Curtis, some other people. Yogorilla. I should put Yogorilla on this
you
year
should.
Just for fun. To
I'm
see
gonna
if
write in
bites.
Yogorilla next time.
So, yeah, we talked about the Yogorilla trailer, or we were going to. And I had this idea that, how about some other famous marathon trailers? Because there have been other trailers. But should we talk about...
Let's start with first, I need a grill. I need to do my journalistic duties here.
The journalistic duties.
Do we have any announcements to make for the horror marathon?
Do you want to talk about the other marathon first?
No. Let's
Well, that's one that's coming up soon.
Okay, here, okay. You want to talk about Rockpopalypse?
Rockapopalypse?
How do you say it?
The hippopotamus? Yeah. it's. I believe it is. Rockpocalypse.
Oh, that is what it is.
A night in rock and roll hell.
Someday.
That was my little Gene Simmons tongue wag at the end, even though I'm
was
not
that
sure.
That? Was that what that was?
Kind of.
Okay.
If Gene Simmons had...
I was waiting for the Yogorilla.
If Gene Simmons had taste like me, let me tell you. You're one of the best, you got the best.
Okay,
this
so
is Rockpocalypse.
Rockpocalypse.
Okay, so I have to be completely honest with you and the listenership out there. In that
some.
I am in on this event, and I am technically a co-promoter of this event, but my partner in crime, Mr. Bartu, it's his brainchild, or brain tumor, maybe is a better mutant brainchild.
We'll see.
So, yeah, it's been his idea for a while to have a night of bad rock and roll or rock-related movies.
Okay.
Not quite the schlock around the clock. That's the old 1990s B and exploitation movie all-nighters.
Yeah.
Which have not really been active for a while. But something where we could get some kind of fairly rotten rock films together.
These range from 1967 through 1986.
Yeah. So, Saturday night, August 2nd, at the Drexel Theater in beautiful downtown Bexley, we're holding this event. Four films starting at 9 p.m. that Saturday night. You get the films, you get a huge, just a plethora, a cavalcade of trailers and shorts to set context and for other reasons that the audience should be familiar with by now. Maybe Yo Gorilla will be in there. I don't know. That's not a promise, by the way. But who knows?
You should.
Maybe we can play Yo Gorilla the trailer on a loop and just rupture that way.
Yo Gorilla.
You can't. Yeah, exactly. No, stop. Don't turn it off.
So yeah, it's going to be Saturday the 2nd, and the films are, I'll say this, and again, this is confession part two. I have not seen any of these films. So all I can say about them is exactly what I know from the descriptors
you posted, copy and pasted.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Since
IMDb.
I am Minister of Information in all this right. whole game.
what your title is?
Minister of Information. Yeah, that's okay. me. Spokesman for the Revolution.
Okay.
So we have from 1967, Cuckoo Patrol.
Yeah.
Starring Freddy and the Dreamers. Are you familiar with Freddy and the Dreamers?
No.
Freddy and the Dreamers were one in many, many, many of the pseudo kind of Beatles knockoff groups. Although you could really classify them as just like a typical group of that sort from the 60s.
They're monkeys wannabes.
I
mean, the monkeys made it work.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. It really is heavy on Freddy in the Freddy and the Dreamers. I don't even know Freddy's last name. I should. But Freddy and the Dreamers had a one-hit wonder called Do the Freddy. Have you ever seen Do the Freddy? You've
no.
never seen Do the Freddy.
Please
okay.
Do the Freddy for me here. I want to see how
Do the
works.
Freddy famously was featured in the Shelley Long movie Troop Beverly Hills.
Oh,
I have also not seen Troop Beverly Hills.
One of the greats.
I've heard. And apparently... Don't you love this when you bring me on a podcast?
I can count the number of Shelley Long movies I've seen on one hand if you cut off a couple fingers.
I'll work on that.
I've seen the one with her and Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that one, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. And then there was one TV movie where she was raped as a child. And like that's it. That is my entire Shelley Long...
I haven't seen that either.
Filmography.
I just think, do you like that you're bringing me on this podcast to talk about an event and I've never seen the films and I'm referring to another film that I've never seen? It's like, there's some stuff I haven't seen. I hear
you. You drop Troop Beverly Hills as if you're like, well, you know, the classic.
Well, our
The Gone with the Wind of 1987 or whatever.
Here's the long and tangled road that came to Freddy and the Dreamers is that I had never heard of them.
Yeah.
Till 2 or 3 years ago when I'm looking through some old clips that are found online, can be found online on Vimeo. From our pals at the Cine Family out in Los Angeles, the great evangelists for film of all kind.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this series a couple years ago, which was like a what was it? It was either like a summer camp series or a staff picks series. I think it was a staff pick series where everyone who worked there got to show one film on one night.
Okay.
And there was a girl who worked there who really loved Troop Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And she introduced it, and I'm watching this video, and I've never seen Troop Beverly Hills, but she talks about how...
Was she the kind who was kind of like, don't give me that, don't tell mom the babysitter's dead shit. Troop Beverly Hills is where it's
She
at.
Really loved Troop Beverly Hills,
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
She even dressed up in like a scout uniform for the intro.
Wow, there's like cosplay for Troop Beverly Hills?
No, I think she just, for her introduction, she got up on the stage, she was inside a portable tent, and she got out of the tent, and they introduced her, and she had like a scoutish type uniform on, and she talked about Troop Beverly Hills.
Was she like, because in my mind's eye...
I sound like a super stalker here, like, I know everything about
that. I'm picturing the girl from that video from the 90s dressed like a bee. I'm picturing her in her 20s.
From Blind Melon?
Is that, yeah.
And I don't know about that. Maybe.
That's what I'm picturing this girl
is
like.
Picture whatever you wish. If you ever run into her, she might be offended.
How would I know?
Possibly.
What about,
I don't
how am I going to know? I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh, you'll know.
I'll just add what you have.
You'll
troop,
know.
She'll be wearing the Troop Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She'll try to
because
sell me cookies.
That's all she wears. So she gets out and talks about the movie, and they talk about how there is a scene in Troop Beverly Hills in which Shelley Long tries to teach the kids how to dance, and the only dance she knows is the Freddy, which was this dance which was originated by Freddy and the Dreamers for their song Do the Freddy. And in the video at the Cine Family then, they play the song, and everybody in the audience gets to do the Freddy. And doing the Freddy is basically, it's...
It looks like lifting your legs to pee on a fire hydrant.
It's lifting your leg and arm at the same time and lifting the other leg and the arm at the same time, followed by Freddy of Freddy and the Dreamers.
It's a white man.
Jumping around a lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. And it's really, really goofy and strange. And here, I even brought the lyrics for Do the Freddy. Here, oh, you have it. Okay, cut it off. Don't ruin the magic.
It looks like it's a seizure.
Yeah, yeah. And Freddy convulses a lot, and that's it. Yeah. So that's...
Is this called dancing? This is kind of amazing.
Why do you have to be such a bigot? Why? You just got back from Israel, and you're showing intolerance? Or why do you have to be the ugly American?
I'm just against British guys who... flail around.
This is why this country is going down the tubes, okay? Because we're so intolerant to British guys who dance in convulsive ways.
Okay, so.
Haven't you ever heard of pogoing? Weren't you around at CBGB's when that all went down?
CBGB's.
Yeah. Remember that? Back in aught 78?
Aught 78? Well, 23 Skidoo. Maybe I didn't. Yeah. I don't know.
So Cuckoo Patrol, the movie with Freddy and the Dreamers, mm-hmm. is kind of the vehicle for them. And it was nearing the end of when they were actually viable. So the group,
I like how you chose viable instead of relevant.
Oh, yeah, we're relevant. Yeah, and so the group was kind of on their way out, but they made this movie, and I've never seen it. But it's kind of a bad feature with a what amounts to a one-hit wonder British rock group from the '60s.
Do they do the Freddy in the movie?
I don't know if they do the Freddy or not, but I wouldn't be shocked if there is no Freddying in the movie if you saw some footage of the Freddy at this event. Which I know is like a huge draw for the $10 you'll pay for this event to see just footage of the Freddy probably pays for the ticket and then some.
Well, I can see Freddy on YouTube here.
Why
but
are you
it's
ruining the magic? Why are you ruining the magic?
But 1965 and then it was made 1967.
We are the
so
dreamers and we make the dreams. You know what happens to people like you? You know, they go down the bad egg chute, okay? And people like me give our chocolate factories away to little boys.
I want it. That sounds
wow. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait.
Hold on. I don't want to have a piece of that.
Now
at all.
That I say that.
No.
Boy, now that I actually describe that
I'm not going to.
That's awful. Jeez.
I am not going to search a YouTube for giving the chocolate factory away to
Gene
little
Wilder.
Boys.
I do love you still. I just want.
Let's move on
you
before you get arrested.
Okay, so we have Cuckoo Patrol. Then from 1977 is a little feature that is not, and I emphasize not on DVD and. Potentially had a VHS release at one point, and that's The Day the Music Died.
Is it about Don McLean?
Not about Don McLean, not about Buddy Holly.
Oh.
The only way to do justice to this is to read the copy that Bruce wrote about this.
Oh, okay.
So here we go.
Stand back.
The Monterey Pop Festival in 67 launched the age of rock extravaganzas, and in 69, Woodstock kicked things into high gear.
Yeah.
Amid a flurry of 1970 all-star tours and mega events, a group of entrepreneurs hoped to cash in by staging another Woodstock, but this time in the heart of New York City and filming it.
Sing it, brother.
What could go wrong? Every special interest group within a subway ride of the Randall's Island demanded a piece of the action.
That's right.
A woefully unprepared film crew generated little in the way of usable footage of performances by Mountain, Van Morrison, and a few other acts who performed before other stars began refusing to go on stage, given the frightening chaos rapidly descending around the festivities.
Oh, yeah.
The existing footage languished for years before the producers had the brilliant idea to emulate Gimme Shelter by restaging the behind-the-scenes drama for a 1977 release with aging DJ and self-proclaimed fifth Beatle, Murray the K, playing himself as the linchpin of these wheelings and dealings.
Murray the K, bitches.
Again. What could go wrong?
That's right.
That's the day the music died. Murray the K, who was a longtime shyster, and famously also, I think he promoted a bunch of early shows the Who did.
Mm-hmm.
And how could you not trust anyone named Murray the K? And that's K as in the letter K, not as in K-A-Y or anything else like that.
K-Y Jelly.
Nah, I don't know. To each
Maybe
his own.
Now he is. Who knows?
Who am I to judge Murray the K?
I don't
Murray
watch
the
enough late night TV to see that.
I'm glad we have our priorities in order here. So that's the day the music died.
I don't know what to say about that.
And I don't either. That's why I'm going to go and watch the movie when it shows. So something I'm guessing the day the music died, you will not have a big opportunity to see that in a theater. I'm going to say this.
Ever.
I'm willing to bet you will never see the day the music died in a theater in your life after this event.
In the known universe.
Call me bold. call me a little crazy, I'm going to say you will never. This could be a once in a lifetime experience. Remember back in 2011 when we played Gokay Body Snatcher from Hell, and we called it a once in a lifetime experience to see it on film in a theater. I feel like this might be an even greater experience. Okay, maybe not, but you probably won't see it in
the
theater.
It will be the
again.
Orgasm loop from Brainstorm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, with Murray the K. Murray the K stuck in the loop. Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm Murray the K, and I approve this message. So we have that.
Let's Google search his image.
You know, one of the challenges of putting this together is trying to find usable art from any of the non-disco-related movies we have. It's hard.
There's a picture of him from, I don't know, a while ago. He kind of looks like Fritz the Night Owl got a perm and took off the hourglass.
I think Fritz might be offended that you would say that. Fritz is probably steaming right now listening to this. He'll probably come to your house and violence will ensue. How about that?
I can take Fritz.
Fritz, sneaky violent. You might not think that, but he really conserves his energy for the outburst of
violence.
So
you're saying that he's a real jockass? Right.
Fritz is going to sue me now, just what I wanted.
Fritz is coming after you, you jockass.
That's all me. Right. Okay, so so we have Cuckoo Patrol.
Yes.
We have The Day the Music Died. And then we go on to, from 1980, probably the most well-known film we're showing, and that is the pseudo-Village People biopic, Can't Stop the Music, with an all-star cast, Steve Guttenberg, Valerie Perrine, The Village People, Bruce Jenner in short shorts.
So what's amazing about this movie is no one seems to remember Steve Guttenberg's in it.
I haven't.
When you mention,
well, I haven't seen the movie. So
the first thing people say, Village People immediately. Of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then people say Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
And people say Valerie Perrine. And then you'll say Steve Guttenberg, and they'll be like, huh? You mean the guy from Cocoon?
In the film that launched his career, Steve Guttenberg.
Was that his first movie?
I don't know. Let's just say it was. It sounds a lot better.
Okay.
Don't you know anything about showmanship or promoting movies?
Nope.
Vincent Price saying that Dr. Fibes was his 100th film or the promo machine, even though it was nowhere near.
I'm looking up Steve Guttenberg right now. Go on.
People are going to be
fascinated. He was in Roller Coaster.
People are going to be fascinated by this podcast. I'm going to look up Steve Guttenberg.
He was in The
now.
Boys from Brazil.
Is Joan Severance in there?
No, I bookmarked those for
you. Know, I dressed up as Steve Guttenberg for Halloween last year.
You did?
No, I did.
As Steve Guttenberg, the wrestler?
Yeah. He's due for a comeback in wrestling. So Can't Stop the Music, yeah, I mean, it's probably, I'm willing to bet that it might be the most fun of these four movies. The most.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Now, can I?
Oh, here's the thing.
Okay,
I
have my journalistic question later.
Of these four, it's probably the one that would have played at the old schlock around the clock, not to be confused with shock around the clock events.
Yeah.
So there's
right
that.
Before the porno enema movies and Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS.
Sure. Okay, so your question, your hard-hitting...
Yeah, my hard-hitting journalistic question is, and this is, I think, a relevant question to ask, because I kind of brought this up to you before the off the air, while you were ranting in a violent, racist rage. I was wanting to know...
Time to cue the sound effect of me walking out the door. Thanks a lot. And falling from the studio
in
the, falling from the studio in the sky to my death. So.
No, over the years, we've talked about over the years, the marathon audience has gotten politer.
Yeah, in
has
a lot of
calmer,
ways.
It's gotten a little older. I remember, and you even partook in this when you were younger, a little bit of talk backing to the screen.
Sure.
In a sci-fi marathon or horror marathon, every now and then you get a completely bonkers movie that's kind of, but you know, you're surrounded by classics and movies that don't need a constant steady stream of everything that comes through your mind, through your mouth. How do you reconcile this? Because these movies are not, by anyone's standard, considered high art. And I mean, they're not even like Phantom of the Paradise, which is a fantastic rock movie, but it's, part of the bonkers nature of Phantom of the Paradise isn't just because it was made when everyone was high on every drug imaginable, but it's also so steeped in the 70s it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your expectations of the audience's reaction to these movies?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Is this going to be one of these things that, I mean, is there going to be like that one or two people who are like, I really am trying to watch... The nuances of Can't Stop the Music.
I really have no idea. I would hope it's pretty obvious that an event like this is not
I mean, you don't want people just like talking through the entire movie, but
I don't know. It's, you know, it's really, it's tough because you look at the marathons and you like to think, okay, play it by ear. Audience, you will know what to do. And for the most part, the audiences these days do that. They know, okay, this is a movie where people probably want to watch it. Or this is a movie that's funny, but people probably want to actually know what's going on.
But even like crazy movies, like when Inferman, you can sit there and goof around yourself, but
yeah.
But people are like, apparently when they first did, people were doing Kung Fu in the aisle.
Oh, yeah. The legendary.
Yeah.
Kung Fu flipping. I don't know. Whatever they want, use your own best judgment, you know? I mean,
use your own best judgment when Can't Stop the Music plays at 5 in the morning.
No. Whenever you talk about audience participation in the marathon, you never want to get to the point where you say, okay, make fun of this stuff. Because that's way too prescribed. Then you get all this pressure like, oh, great, we have to do it. Then you get jerks who are just like, well, you told me to make fun of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, here's some films. We're promoting this as a bad film night.
Yeah.
This is not us saying, like, now the greatest rock and roll films ever. We're not watching Woodstock and doing a symposium after it. We're this is like some crappy movies, and we hope you have fun, and if that involves talking. Here's the thing, too. Most people at the modern marathons, if someone wants you to shut up, they'll tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
That's kind of always been that way.
Well, and I think a good rule of thumb is, if you're seeing it and you're with your buddies, and you're going to have fun with your buddies, just have fun with your buddies. Don't try and entertain the guy on the other side of the auditorium.
Here's what I'll say. In the modern marathon days, it has become really, really obvious when one or two people decide that they want to try to take over and be the entertainment.
Yeah.
It becomes really obvious because usually when that happens, it's in a part where no one else is talking. And then someone eventually will say, can you shut up, please, loudly. So that's that. When people want to just chime in and laugh and hoot and holler and all that stuff, it's pretty obvious too. Marathon audience is pretty good about governing themselves. You're just trying to bait me into talking about Electroma, aren't you?
No, I'm not even talking about Electroma.
Open the sore spot.
I was eating dinner during Electroma.
Like the only person in the theater who was not.
I liked Electroma. I watched it later.
I did too.
I really liked it.
I was.
But I can see where it could have the audience turn very fast. It's one of those that you say, well, this could get ugly.
If I talk any more about Electroma, I'm going to say something that will anger some of the people who really hated it. Let's just keep talking. Because I'll sound
Daft Punk.
I thought it was really interesting. And I became steadily more disappointed and aggravated when everybody decided, oh, here's the red meat we have to turn on. And it's like, come on. Let's not talk about that, because then people will think I'm just a pretentious jerk.
Well,
they probably do anyway.
There you go.
I'm a jock ass. What can I say?
All right.
All right. So Can't Stop the Music is number three. And then the fourth and final film, also not on DVD, far as we know, is a kind of a curious little feature from 1986 called Incident at Channel Q. And in a lot of ways, it's a collection of 80s metal and pop metal music videos with a wraparound story about a guy who's like a DJ or a VJ, and he's trying to fight against the people who would suppress him and shut down his show. And the really interesting thing is it's directed by Storm Thorgerson. You know who Storm Thorgerson is, right?
No.
You really don't know anything, do you?
I don't know anything.
You went to Israel and you don't know who Storm Thorgerson
is? Is that something I need to... Did I need to know that? I'm looking him up.
Storm Thorgerson is...
He died last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so he did all the covers. Okay.
He was synonymous with Hypnosis, and he did a lot of famous covers for bands like Pink Floyd. Famously, the album cover for Wish You Were Here, which involves a Hollywood backlot and two guys shaking hands, and one of them is on fire.
Yeah, Storm Thorgerson did the art for that.
Some of the most memorable, iconic.
Can we set somebody on fire this time?
I think for liability reasons, I can't comment on that. So let's just leave.
It's right next to the fire exit. I mean, it's right there.
Is that a fire exit?
It's an exit.
That's an exit.
Well, if you're on fire, you can go out the exit.
If you put fire up above the exit. In Cran.
Can I set fire to the exit?
Then sure.
That it would be a fire exit?
Yeah. So Storm Thorgerson directed it. And he directed other little documentaries and things, but it's one of his few true directorial efforts, which, again, I haven't seen it, so I can't really testify to its quality. But it does have some pretty quality video footage of, who's in this? According to Bruce's copy, uncensored videos from Kiss, Scorpions, Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Iron Maiden, Rush, Deep Purple, Lita Ford, Golden Earring, Motorhead, and Rainbow. I can only hope that the Golden Earring video is for Twilight Zone, because I remember that from when I was a kiddo. And they beat the guy up in the alley or something like that? Or
I don't know.
I don't know. So there you go. Yeah, Incident at Channel Q. So those four films, and it is a rock bottom bargain price, $10.
$10, not bad.
$10, and we're only selling tickets the day of the show.
Wow.
If you want to come in the Drexel.
So you don't get depressed leading up to it. You're like, nobody's coming.
Oh my God, what did I think of this? Yeah.
You can wait until 9:30 that night to have that depression.
Sure, yeah. So if you want to go in the day of the show to the Drexel, they'll have tickets, or you can buy them at the door. And it should be fun. I think we're shooting for like 9 p.m. till sometime around dawn.
Are we going to have, I hope that they're showing like, at the Drexel next door. Like, I remember they were showing, like, Philomena or whatever during the sci-fi marathon.
Yeah.
I hope they're showing something hoity-toity. And
I can't guarantee that, but...
That would be nice. I think it would be fun.
It would be.
I like freaking out the little,
what was
little
it?
Old ladies.
Sci-fi a couple years ago, they played Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. And that was on the marquee, and our group took a picture of us,
sexy,
like holding up Sci-Fi Marathon certificates under Best Exotic Marathon Hotel.
Ooh, that would be, I'd like that.
Best Exotic Marathon Hotel.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything like really all that.
I don't think there's anything really hoity-toity coming
up. No, I mean, it's not award season, so.
No. So yeah, there you go.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's last film,
that
Wanted Man.
That is the news on Rockpocalypse, A Night in Rock and Roll Hell.
All right.
Yeah, it should be fun. And it's if even,
it should be.
Well,
according to the science.
If it's not fun, it's cheap, so you probably won't feel like you're getting too much taken away. If you think about it too, it's
is
almost
that
like,
how you sell yourself on dates? I may not be fun, but I'm cheap.
Yeah. What else do I have?
I will not give you herpes, I promise.
My standards are low and I wash most days. Yeah, in some ways if you think about it, you could also say, oh, I'm paying $10 to see a whole lot of really awesome rock and music related trailers and shorts.
It'd be like the trailer park.
It'll almost be the trailer-thon plus four features.
Hmm.
Yeah. And again, Yo
Gorilla,
maybe, possibly, not guaranteed. I would love to get sued for promising to show Yo Gorilla and not showing Yo Gorilla. Just, I would appear in court for that.
I would love to see that suit.
Plaintiff claims that he attended event, Rockpocalypse Night in Hell, in which he was promised to see a trailer with Yo Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
And, was not. Yes, that's true. Yeah, it should be a good time. And stuff that you'll probably won't see in a theater or on film again. Yeah, all by the way, all four features in glorious 35mm. So there you go with that. So that's the upcoming project. Now you want to ask and pester me about the horror marathon, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Today, The People versus Yo Gorilla. Ooh, that would be an awesome movie. The People versus Yo Gorilla.
Joe Gorilla.
Or Joe Gorilla?
That could be Joe Gorilla. That's what you should do. You should dress up as Yo Gorilla. And you could be Joe Gorilla. I'll dress up in the blue dress with splattered Yogo all over myself. We'll win the $100.
I'm looking at Kevin's son, Liam, right now, disapprovingly. Help.
Barry!
Distract him while I
Barry.
Run. Please. Maybe I should change my name to Joe Gorilla. That would be a really catchy name.
Yeah.
I could buy the remaining Yogo that exists.
If it's any good.
Corner the market on Yogo.
I think there's a certain shelf life to pudding.
Shh. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret.
All right. So.
Horror marathon. Shock around the clock.
Do we have any further announcements?
Okay.
We are coming up to that date.
If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, because I always remember that the casual listener is key. Mm. I know my audience.
And people listen to it over and over again so they can memorize it.
They do. This fall, October 18th and 19th, it's the 666th annual Shock Around the Clock, the Ohio 24-Hour Horror Marathon, noon to noon.
Hosted by Joe Gorilla.
Joe Gorilla and Bruce Bartangelo or
Bartangelo. suddenly VK.
I can't think of a good animal name for his last name. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, October 18th and 19th, it's the 666th annual version of this little monstrosity we've been running.
No.
Once again, current films confirmed. We've got the original Invisible Man. Mm-hmm. We have The Wicker Man, The Final Cut.
Yeah.
The Shining. The legendary classic. We have The Manitou, which we talked about on the last podcast, and we'll talk about again. A fantastic experience on 35mm.
Yes.
We have Nosferatu the Vampire, with Klaus Kinski as Nosferatu, the Werner Herzog remake of Nosferatu from 1976.
Is Werner Herzog anywhere here? Does he want to speak on that at all?
No.
No, okay.
Although, did you see...
Christopher Walken want to chime in?
Did you get a screener of Life Itself, the Roger Ebert documentary?
No, but I am going to be seeing it this
Werner
this
Herzog
weekend.
Appears in it.
Does he?
Yeah, someone actually...
He also appears in Jack Reacher for some strange reason.
I know,
reason.
Yeah. Someone. One of the best reactions in the film is when someone talks about... hearing Herzog's voice on a phone call to Ebert while he's ailing, and then they cut to Herzog talking about Ebert, and the crowd gets a huge laugh out of it because Herzog says, Roger was like a cinematic warrior. He was a soldier for the cause, you know, and he's down in battle, and we have to support him for that. It's great. It's a really great moment.
That's amazing.
And then the final film we're showing...
I love that impression.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. That's... Someday I'm going to meet him and he'll say, oh, you're the one who does the shitty impersonation of me. I've heard you before. It's good. Keep the day job then, yes. The final film is... Is Adam Wingard's great home invasion thriller, Your Next.
Yes.
So those people have known about those, most people have known about those since March when we announced the date. So what can I tell you now? We're getting close to getting most, if not all, of the rest of the lineup. Some dominoes that could cause things to fall in several different ways, so we don't want to say too much. Ideally...
Can we give like a mystery hint? Can we?
No, I will. Ideally, we would like to announce almost everything else at Rockpocalypse, a night in rock and roll. But I can't guarantee that.
Gene Simmons is going to be second in line after Werner Herzog.
We're going to try. That was more of just me doing my thing and then, yeah.
Just throwing in the Gene Simmons.
Gene's probably going to sue me now for trademark infringement.
My tongue.
Yeah.
Trademarked my tongue.
So there's a chance. And hopefully we can confirm sometime next week if we'll be able to announce all that stuff at Rockpocalypse. If not, it should be shortly thereafter. So what can I tell you? I have some teasers, some hints, some mystery... machines, a lot of them, with shag carpet, and dogs in the back. So, what can I tell you? I can tell you this one thing. We do have confirmed a 35mm print of a film that was thought to be lost for decades.
Slither!
Yes. We wiped Slither off the internet just so we could say that. Not Slither. Although, someday... Someday. It's a film that was thought
to be
lost
for
decades.
Because
it would.
James Gunn with Guardians of the Galaxy.
It would be, yes. Because the first thing people think of when they think of like Guardians of the Galaxy will be, oh, Slither, or oh, James Gunn. I love James Gunn.
Lloyd Kaufman has a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know. You know, in the elitist circles you run in with your little film critic friends and everything, who are like, oh, James Gunn, I love James Gunn.
He's amazing.
He's a modern genius. Did you see the new James Gunn movie? I did, yes. It's fantastic. Yeah,
I've never talked like that in my life.
For we, the normal people.
Don't lump yourself.
James Gunn's going to hate me soon, too. Yeah. Stephen King, still feuding on Twitter. With you. I should just feud with the founder of Twitter. Screw feuding with Twitterites.
Sure,
I'm calling out Twitter itself.
Where are you going to feud with him if you're not going to use Twitter to actually feud with him?
Facebook?
Shit! How did that happen?
Facebook.
That's right.
The Zuck and I are tight. So anyway, there is a film.
Gross, but go on.
There is a film that we have confirmed 35mm print. Probably, I don't want to say your only chance to ever see it in 35mm in a theater, but probably one of your only chances ever. I'm guessing this film never played Columbus. I'm guessing that this might be the first time in decades that anyone has been able to exhibit this in a theater. Like I said, it was
when was it made? When did it come out?
I'm not going to give that away.
Oh
yet.
My God!
I will soon enough. Well, maybe I should. It was 1967 or 68, I think. And there is almost no information about this film online. Trust me, I've looked a lot. The only thing we can find are some posters, a couple, that feature copious nudity.
Mm.
So there's that. And
that's always good.
Copious nudity and occultic behavior.
Of course, if it's in the 60s, no bikini waxes back then.
I have no idea. Maybe.
No, there's no bikini waxes back then.
I haven't seen the film.
It was Jungle Warriors.
And neither have you.
No, I haven't, but I've watched.
Why do you have to judge? Why do you have why do you
I'm
why do you,
not saying
why do you have
way.
To be
I'm
the authority here?
Way.
I'm just trying to promote
like
a lost
ball.
Film and you're like, "Yeah,
it
guess
looks
what?"
Looks like a baby. I don't want that.
Who are you? Why do you I'm going to start charging by the hour if this is going to turn into a psych session. Tell me more, please.
I have
tell
a
me
jock-ass
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, jock-ass moment. So yeah, that's all I can tell you right now. We'll tell you what it is, but it was thought to be lost for a long time, and it is not on DVD right now, and like I said, it's a true rarity.
But yet, ironically, it's on Netflix.
No, yeah, and it's on Netflix. So we have that confirmed. We'll tell you the title soon. There is another film that I think we're going to play in one way or the other. We're just trying to figure out what format right now.
Okay.
Something that I've wanted to play for a long time. Mm-hmm. Something that we have had at least a few people mention in the past. Something that has never played a marathon. I'm guessing has never played in Columbus in a theater. Wow. Something that horror fans would know, but it's by a very well-known, respected horror film director. And yet it's something that's a little more off the beaten path than some of this person's more well-known features.
Okay.
Something I think that the audience would like. And that if people haven't seen it, if people haven't seen this film, and again, I feel confident enough that we'll show it one way or the other, in just depending on which format. If people haven't seen this, if they've only seen, say, one other film this person has done, they would look at this film and maybe say, oh, wow, that's kind of a change of pace, even though this film is almost more in keeping with a lot of what this other person has done. And it's got some great gore in it, too. So there's that. And
no more hints on this? This is like having...
You'll get the full news in like 3 weeks,
maybe
4 weeks.
A little more hint. I gotta give something to the people.
Like what? There are men in this film? And women?
Okay.
And blood?
When did this come out?
Buildings?
When did this come out?
The early 80s.
The early 80s.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. All right. It's called Incident at Channel Q.
Nice.
No. So there are those two, and
directed by Strom Thurmond.
It's Storm Thurgeson. What do you do, Strom Thurmond? Jesus, and you're knocking over now. You're knocking over your own thing. See what you do? You make jokes about Strom Thurmond. He's dead, right?
I probably not.
I thought Strom Thurmond died.
Oh no,
ago.
It may have been reported, but he's probably not dead.
So Strom and Storm are both dead. Okay.
No, Strom Thurmond. I think he's still alive somewhere. It's just. He may have been reported as being dead.
Okay. Yeah, check it up. I think he's dead.
No, I'm sure that the news says he's dead.
Oh, okay. You mean where he really
I don't think
is.
He can die.
He's hanging out with Tupac.
Y'all know he's dead. Strom Thurmond died in 2003. Well, no, the reports say he died in 2003. Okay. He's still living. He's like, have you ever driven west and you see that big signs for The Thing? Like way in Southern California? The Thing?
Maybe.
That's where Strom Thurmond
no?
is.
Okay. Yeah. Other films that I can tease.
Give me some. Give
well,
me something
here,
concrete.
Here's the thing. There's at
Come
least,
on.
There's at least one other film that I would really like to play, and I think we're in agreement that we would like to play, that would be a draw, and has probably not shown in Columbus since it originally came out some 20-plus years ago.
Okay.
And would probably be a real attraction to see. But I don't want to say anything more about it because it's what we're looking at right now is kind of looking at something like this and saying, okay, can we get it? If we do, that'll affect the remaining couple films we play.
Okay.
And if we can't, that'll affect the remaining couple films we play. It could go either way.
Sure.
So there's that. And we're also trying our hardest to pursue at least one or two somewhat legitimate premieres. I don't know how that's going to go because it's a little harder to get things like that. If we don't, then I wouldn't be shocked to see us maybe put one or two underseen recent films in, kind of like Your Next, kind of like, you know, like when we showed Kill List, something like that. But more goodness to come. Should be a really strong overall lineup. And we do have.
We have another film that we
can.
Well,
kind of.
What it is.
Kind of, yeah. We have, we have something. It is. It's not a feature film, and I don't know if I should announce this yet, because I'm not sure if the parties involved want to wait to coordinate the announcement.
Oh, okay.
But it would probably be the Ohio premiere of this cinematic endeavor. And it's, I've seen it, and it's pretty cool. Okay. And it's something like when people, once we officially announce this, when people hear it, I hope that people think like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I can attest. I think it's cool. Bruce has seen it. He thinks it's pretty cool. It's by someone that much of the audience might know.
Okay.
But it's pretty.
You're so specific here.
Well, I don't
the
know.
The last 20 minutes of this podcast has been, well, we're going to show something that's a horror movie, and it was made in the last 100 years.
It's going to be great.
I can't tell you what it is.
But let me tell you, man.
This is like inviting somebody to a strip club and saying, oh yeah, so and so is going to be there, and she's going to talk about getting naked.
Well, here I'll say this: when we told the parties involved with this thing I'm obliquely referring to, when we told them that we had that film that was considered to be lost, we said, oh, it would be interesting, kind of, to play what you have along with that, or to play that, like, and count those two as like one complete film.
Yeah.
So this thing I'm obliquely referring to, this non-feature film, it's kind of like a strange kind of avant-garde, bizarro type thing that would fit in very well, I'm guessing, with this other film, which seems to be kind of strange and
Giselle
bizarro
Corsan
and avant-garde.
Movie.
Huh?
Giselle Corsan, the feature film.
Giselle. Oh yes. Yeah. We finally found the director.
Can we at least have something, like any title of anything that we're gonna...
No
more specific,
because I'm a tease, and that's how I like it.
Well, there you go.
No, it'll be a lot better. And again, hopefully
it'll be a lot better.
If all things click, the night of
Rockpocalypse, a night in rock and roll hell, blah, 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 blah.
Now that sounds like I'm just having a stroke at the end of that. A night in rock and roll hell.
I don't know what you're having.
Hopefully that night, if things click together, we will be able to do what we did at Sci-Fi and show you trailers for almost everything else that we have and have that be the announcement. Although I'll warn you, though, the one film I talked about that was considered lost, we can't find a trailer for it.
Wow.
We can't find much of anything for it.
But do you have the print? Are you're getting a print?
We have access to it, yeah. Okay. We know that. So anyway, so there's the Horror Marathon update. More to come, and it's exciting because I feel like we're right on the verge of being able to get the ball and the machine rolling on that.
Mm-hmm.
The ball machine rolling. The ball gag
the
machine.
The ball machine?
Yeah, the ball what? Machine. I don't know. I'm
what?
Mixing my metaphors
now. Why are you talking
now.
About balls right now?
I said ball.
Ball? What, like you mean like the demon ball?
Yes, the demon ball, the false god. We're going to worship Baal, the fish god, at the Horror Marathon.
Is he a fish?
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Should go to Sunday school? Huh?
I must have overslept during the demon discussion.
Baal was the fish god that the Philistines worshipped back in the Bible.
Is this baby fish mouth?
Or was Dagon the fish god?
From
No, Baal was a... Oh, I forgot. Dagon was the fish god. Baal was the... Baal was like a bull or something like that, I think. I thought.
It was a...
Today on Marathon Baal. Chat... False gods and their impact.
Apparently, he's into black power because he's doing the black.
Oh
power
yeah, Baal's not a bull. That's right.
Baal is
Northwest Semitic title and not
master or lord. It's used for various gods who are patrons of cities of in the Levant and Asia Minor, cognate to Akhenaten.
Okay, so I forgot. Yeah, Dagon is the fish god. I should know that because we programmed a little film called Dagon years ago.
We saw Dagon.
That involved the fish god. Sorry. I'm messing up my Bible history now. So let's stop talking about it.
Didn't you go to Sunday school?
I did.
My Sunday school
too much.
Is the mornings of the marathons.
Oh, that's beautiful.
See?
That's so touching.
Yeah.
God, you're sweet. So that is the Horror Marathon news we have
and
right
anything
now.
Anything else we want to not talk about? During this
politics, latent homosexuality, world affairs, yoga.
We already did that.
Oh, we already did that. Damn. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's more of there are good things coming.
Okay.
So, and hopefully coming soon. And I don't want
to. It would be nice to have a full lineup before 2 months before the event, which
yeah,
ideally would happen.
I'm guessing we'll have a full lineup, or we'll have a full lineup minus maybe one slot so that if we have something up in the air premiere wise or something like that, we've done that the last couple of years. We've always left a slot open so that we can try to get another premiere. And if we can't, we can shovel in. We can shovel in another film.
Yeah, now the question I have, and I've always asked this, since you do have an idea of what these remaining films would be.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, you know, the very extreme stuff before. And the reason I ask, and I think I've said this last time, since you know what it is, you can talk in general, since you're refusing to tell me any titles. We can, I ask you, because I bring my kids now, my kids are 11 and 13.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for films like, obviously, the big one being the Serbian film, or, you know, you know, Irreversible, and, you know, Ichi the Killer, some of these very extreme things. Are there anything extreme? Because I know that's a polarizing thing, but I always like to know, because I need to know whether I need to have the wife come and pick them up for a couple hours.
No, the films that I so obliquely teased, I don't think any of them count as something of that level.
Yeah.
Although we always look for something that's a little edgy, because that's horror, you know.
Yeah.
Some of it just depends on what you can get to.
Yeah.
So, but right now
you had Thirst. You know,
yeah, last year. Yeah.
He was in Jerusalem with me.
Park Chan-wook?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he the one with the dog in the theater?
No, okay. that was this Israeli pit bull rescuer. No, he actually was doing a master class when the sirens went off.
Cool.
And his comment was, only in Korea and Israel would my
presentation
talk
be
interrupted
by a missile strike.
Missile strikes.
Yeah. So, you know, as of right now, I don't think there's anything that is that involves activities as revolting as those portrayed in Serbian film. Token Serbian film reference for the day.
Well, you know, I have to. But no, I think that's important. And I mean, this is not me saying how it should be programmed or not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it as a responsible parent that, I mean, I let my kids watch. I let my kids watch some crazy shit. But I do draw the line at certain points.
Oh, that was good. That was nice. Responsible parent. Well, yeah. Those two words together and mixed. And,
we're no longer at the point where it's like, everyone's trying to make the most offensive movie anymore.
It's hard. Horror's so cyclical like that it's always things out there.
Well, there always are, but I mean, it was the whole Human Centipede Serbian film run was everybody trying to make the most offensive.
And they had the
shocking film ever.
4 or 5 years when the French filmmakers, what were they called?
The early 2000s.
The splat pack that they were making things like that. It just goes in cycles.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So in a couple of years, they'll be there.
Sure.
Or next time we invite Stuart Gordon.
Yes. I guarantee. How about that? Now, unleash the lawyers.
That's right.
So anyway, that's all I can tell you right now. More soon. I know I'm being really oblique, but...
Yes.
I don't want to pull back the curtain too much.
Yeah, okay.
Because then, if I pull back the curtain too much, they'll see there's nothing behind it. Shh. Oh, wait.
Hey, this isn't the wizard.
In any case, let's see. Anything else about upcoming events you want to know, or?
No. I mean, that's about it. I mean, we went through Rockpocalypse, which is the, go ahead and say it.
Rockpocalypse, a night in rock and roll hell.
And then, of course, we've got the upcoming sci-fi.
Chunk around the clock. Sci-fi. That's like next March. Come on.
Horror marathon.
Yeah. If you're planning ahead, sci-fi, I think we have it locked down for March. I think we have it locked down for March 14th and 15th next year.
Mm. Is that the same weekend as last year or this year?
Roughly. Yeah. More official news on that soon. I think we're hoping to do with sci-fi what we did with horror, which is by the time horror hits, we'll have some titles booked to tell you about too.
Good.
And then the world will be at peace. So there you go. So last time we talked about shorts and trailers, and we were talking about trailers, and we talked about Yo Gorilla, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun to talk about...
Oh, we're going to talk... We're at over an hour already.
Oh, we are? You want to roll through these, or I don't care.
Well,
Well, okay, next time we do this will be in August, right?
Yeah.
And we'll have horror... Well, here's the thing. You said we're planning on doing this...
Roughly once a month.
Yeah, so if we do it in August and we have the entire lineup announced,
yeah,
or most of it, we have to have something to talk about in September.
Yeah.
Because unless something awesome happens or strange happens.
Or unless you don't, you're not still not going to release the titles then.
No, yeah. Well, okay. See, if you went around to big cities, you would get how it really works, my friend. Okay.
What?
Our buddies in Philadelphia at Exhumed Films, who have run horror exploitation shows since like the late 90s, they, for the last six, I think, years, maybe seven, have run their own 24-hour horror marathon. Mm-hmm. They don't announce any of the titles beforehand.
Yeah.
You show up, they give you a program, it has some hints per film,
yeah,
and you just wait for it to hit the screen. And you know what? They're happy. They like it. But here in Columbus, it's like, oh, if you don't tell me every single film like 9 months beforehand, I don't know if I can make room in my calendar for that. You're being coy now.
I will be honest.
Wait, that's
you.
Just Kevin. That's
I and this just might be a cultural thing, a regional thing. I probably wouldn't spend $35 or $40 to go see it. Well, not to not know what it is.
You're just not a true believer, are you?
No, I'm not.
I mean, they, you know, afterwards they people know what they are, so you have a nice. It's usually like 60s, 70s, 80s type stuff, you know.
Well, and I here's the thing. If you want to get specific on the details of this.
Don't you believe?
I do.
When did
I
you stop believing?
I just wanted to
when
have
did
something
you stop
on the
believing?
Show. I wanted to have something.
Oh, you want to do good radio now.
Yeah.
I'm like saying LeBron should have gone to Milwaukee.
What's the shit about LeBron?
We're going to take calls.
Who cares about LeBron?
Because I got a hot take right now, and that's called Kevin doesn't know anything about movies. We're going to take calls now.
It goes back, though, the whole thing with, let's put it this way. Let's just say, if we could date back, you know, like how they say the KY, was it the KT or the K, not the KY.
What?
The KT boundary.
Tell me more.
Isn't
Kevin,
that the one?
Tell me
the,
more.
The dinosaurs where you can find the ash layer in the,
okay.
the rocks.
Yeah.
That would be the closing of the Drexel North in the marathon history.
Harken back with us now to 1995, when a little place called the Drexel North, the Dream Machine, the Dream Factory, closed.
Before the Drexel North closed, in that glory days, I think you could totally have done that. But it just, and it has nothing to do with the programming or the programmers or anything. Not all the programmers. Let's just be delicate with that statement. But had there not been this very rocky road for the last 15 plus years, with theater switching and not knowing whether it's going to be 14 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, I think
theater polygamy, as we like to call it,
I think you could easily, and I think I speak from this for a lot of the fans, you could have easily sold it as saying, hey, we're not going to announce any titles, and people would buy it sight unseen. But there have been so many years, and I'm just letting me make this point, because I do want to make the point.
Go ahead.
There have been so many years, and maybe not even with the horror marathon, but the sci-fi marathon, there were years where the lineup was not an ace lineup. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of, and even though it was fun, there were some stuff that was crammed in there, either just because it was a premiere, or just, and you know, I'm talking about like the year, a couple of years ago, like 2010 when they had five, you know, documentaries or fake movie, like what was the one? Lunopolis. And, you know, we had a whole, like,
I think
four
there
or five.
There were like two and a half.
There was
People versus George Lucas, a real documentary, which was not good. Lunopolis. Mock documentary, which I was tired for. And then Troll Hunter at the end, which is technically a fake documentary, but
And then like 2 years
before
there
was,
that.
We did talk about that. We said that Troll Hunter went over really well, but it did kind of seem kind of odd after a real documentary and a fake documentary to have another pseudo documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what it is there's been, in the most polite way of putting it.
I had nothing to do with that, too.
That's why I'm saying not everybody involved. But I'm just saying that there have been plenty of years where, like I said, it's not been an ace lineup. And it felt like there was movies put into the lineup that were put in the lineup not because they were good selections, but because they were available, and there was other reasons behind it.
Those were the marathons that Kevin O'Brien booked from Australia remotely. So Blame him. I don't
that's,
know.
Get that's
on,
all. That's
get on,
all
get
I'm
on.
Saying.
Get on Facebook and blame him. I don't
that,
know.
That's all. That's all.
Well, no,
I'm
no, no, no.
That,
that's
that's why.
And
that's
think,
why it's that you sell a sight unseen. You're not going to sell.
No,
sight
well,
to
well, and I think and for that, I think we've talked about that so much. How that's part of in trying to unite sci-fi and horror, mm-hmm. as we have. You know, Sci-Fi Marathon had some problems for various reasons. Horror yeah. Marathon, we maintained a pretty good level of
you've made,
quality. Well,
but
that, yeah.
but the problem with the Horror Marathon was it couldn't find a theater. There's so many extenuating circumstances that would really harm the. And then there
You'll note, by the way, I never said, I said there are these guys in Philadelphia we know that do this, yeah. and I didn't say. And other people do that too. They are the total anomaly.
Yeah.
They're the only theater I know of. The only other theater I've ever known of that has done a 24-hour marathon and not announced the films was in Boston for their 10th annual sci-fi in 1985, I think it was. They did 36 hours. Midnight Friday till noon Sunday. Or no, midnight Saturday till noon Monday. And they didn't announce any films. But that was the one time.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, that's such a hard thing to do. I'm amazed they can do it in Philadelphia because that is such a hard thing. And it's a testament
probably,
to their audience.
But it's an audience, and they probably have a very – if you probably were to go back and look at their lineups over the last 15 years or however long they've been doing it,
yeah.
it's probably a pretty consistent that you know you're going to get these kind of movies, mm-hmm. these kind of movies.
Pretty much so.
And that has – decidedly not been the case with either marathon just for various reasons. And, again, this
You'll
is
notice
not,
I never said we should do that, right? Yeah. I think
well,
you're. I think
no,
you're,
you scolded me.
I think
for,
oh, that was a
me.
Fake scold.
You
come on. I think. I think you're.
I want to have a little bit of tease. So
I think.
That
I think. I think this,
to
is,
this.
I think this is a very.
People
yeah,
want
but,
to hear, but a little bit.
But I also said a little tease until we announce everything in 2 weeks. Or, I think this is a little like Freudian unleashing from beneath. But it can't be because you've already talked about this before. I don't know. I can't do anything about the sci-fi marathons from the past.
Well, I'm not, and I'm not saying that. Here's the thing, because the last two marathons have been aces lineups. They've been great lineups. And if there's anything that I've heard from just talking to other people and seeing message board and actually talking to people at events and talking to people who've been there, for in particular the last sci-fi, it was like, wow, this is the kind of lineup we want.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get. And I mean, I didn't go here because I was like, well, that's a terrible lineup. I'm not even going to bother, you know. And I think
I wouldn't blame people. Yeah. There was the last, what was it, the 2013 sci-fi? Yeah, 2013 sci-fi. I left early.
Yeah,
because I was kind of disenchanted with the lineup, mm-hmm. and now that's not, you know, yeah. so you know, I get it, and. I don't blame you. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the event to be good. That sounds kind of
well. I mean,
vague and oblique. And
I look at this as we're back at year one, or
in a lot
maybe
of ways,
year 1.5. So it's like that's where it is. But me trying to get a name out of you, I'm just trying to get something for the audience here. I'm being the good host.
I'm putting my journalism hat on with a little press pass up on the top and saying, what's the title? Come on, Jim. Come on, where's
give
the title?
Something.
I can't give you anything.
Give me something. Just a
nothing.
Director name.
You think you're going to break me?
Well,
you can't.
Yeah.
Here's all I'll say.
I'll just put it on Twitter.
Have I ever?
I'll tell you. Say it. I'll bleep it out and I'll put it on Twitter. No one will read it.
Have I, Joe Neff, ever marketed crap to you, the marathon audience? No, never. End of discussion. Good night. See you later. Bye bye.
No. Whoops.
Almost got away, and then whoops! I tripped on my way out the door.
No, you've never marketed.
Yeah.
Crap.
No. I here's what I'll say to you. I would not.
I just want information.
If this was truly just
this is the news.
Stupid, I wouldn't market it to you. Wait a couple weeks. Hopefully, we'll have all the news and then we'll be there. But some good stuff, some kind of cool stuff.
Have to push for the audience.
No, well, the cool thing too is potentially we mm-hmm. could have a lineup that maybe only has one film that's shown at a previous marathon.
Oh, okay.
The Shining. Mm. The way things kind of are being plotted out, there's a potential that we could have all new stuff that is never shown at a Columbus marathon.
As it is now, how many films do you foresee? 12?
Depends on the running length.
Well, but I mean, the lineup now, the ones you want to
announce. No. Well, that's what I mean. If that's what I said about, say, if one of these films does come through,
mm-hmm.
it's a certain running time. If it doesn't, that means we could maybe do one more film. Like, so one, it's one more additional film.
Is longer?
One of them could be a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we already have The Shining, which is 2 hours and 20. We have Nosferatu, which is 1 hour and 50, I think.
Yeah, but like The Invisible Man's like 26 minutes long.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So 11 or 12
okay.
is about the average we run.
Okay.
Are you okay now?
Fair enough.
Did I hurt you?
No.
Did I hurt your feelings?
I have to do this.
No, come on. No, we're okay. We should start fighting about Twitter again now.
Yeah.
I told just you. Just your laughs.
Tell me. I'll only put it on Twitter. As you know, no one reads that stuff.
They don't, actually.
All right.
My dog doesn't read Twitter, so there.
Well, we probably should wrap up
Yeah,
here.
Please, because Kevin's going to send us another email saying, the podcast was 1.5 hours long. Oh, my God. How long is it right now?
Right now it is about 1 hour 20.
That's a good middle ground. I like that. And we would have, if you hadn't gone on that strange self-defensive rant about secrets, we could have been out of here in 1 hour. So, exactly. Hey, everybody, you can clip out the last 20 minutes if you want to have the good stuff. Yeah. While I pet Kevin's head and say, it's okay. We get it. You've been abused by the marathon. Those days are done.
All right.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
We will wrap it up here. It is the end of Marathon Chat. We're still keeping that name.
Marathon Chat.
And be sure to join us at Rockpocalypse. Did I say that right this time?
Yes.
On 9 p.m. Saturday, August 2nd.
October. August.
Until dawn-ish.
Yeah.
Sunday, August 3rd.
Sometime around that time. Should be awesome.
Ring in the new year after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy from Slither director James Gunn.
Who I believe some people will call an auteur.
Sure. Everybody could be called an auteur.
Yes.
Martin Campbell can be called an auteur.
Yes. And Tyler Perry.
Definitely, yeah. You know his stuff.
Yes.
It stinks. So. All right, well, we gotta go.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll talk to you next time.